Morning, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome back. Well, just to kick off this morning, my name's Matt. I'm one of the leaders here, along with Andrew and Ben of Grace Church. It's great to welcome you here this morning. If you're a guest, I hope you've been made to feel very welcome, and let me extend my welcome to you as well. Andrew and I are actually considering a career change at this point. We're thinking of doing wedding singing. So we thought we'd give you a quick rendition, just sat like this. For no, not at all, really. You'll be relieved to know that that is not the case. And many people around the country will now breathe a sigh of relief. Actually, what we want to do this morning is start off this new term, and in many ways a new year, it's a new academic year, by talking about some of the things over the next 3 weeks that we as an eldership team have felt are priorities from God for us, and things that we've been chewing over for a number of months, in fact, longer than that, running into years. And so over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be covering three topics as a church. The first of which we're tackling today, which is partnership, and then over the next 2 weeks, ownership and mutual responsibility. So this week we're looking at partnership, and it's true to say that none of us can do life on our own. And so, as it's true for us individually, we also believe that it's true for us as a church together, that we can't do it alone. And so what we want to do this morning is just look at this theme of partnership. Who do we join with as a church, and why do we join with them? So just to kick us off, we're gonna do this by just doing sort of a bit of a Q&A with each other and interjecting over what each other is saying if we feel we need to at times. So this is the first time we've done it, which is new. There's no well-worn paths here, so I'm just going to kick off with a question for you, Andrew. What do we mean by partnership, and why is it important to us as a church?
I'm pleased you said interjecting across one another rather than contradicting one another. Although there might be elements to that as well. What was the question again?
What do we mean by partnership, and why is it important?
Why is partnership important? Because when we read the Bible about God's design for his church, we see that churches are not meant to function independently of one another. So as we join arms with other churches, as we work in partnership with others, it's a vital expression of the fact that we're all part of what the Bible calls the body of Christ. The Bible talks about the church universal, the church with a capital C, if you like, being the means by which Jesus Christ's ministry continues on the earth today. Jesus continues his mission through his people, who are the church. So that, if you like, is a helpful way of thinking about the universal church. We are Christ's body on the earth. We are his hands and his feet. We are his mouthpiece. We are accomplishing the works of Jesus Christ. We're part of the body of Christ, and each local church is a local expression of that one body. So as we reach out with others, as we work in partnership with others, we are expressing the fact that all local churches ultimately are one because we're all part of the same body. But there's also a practical reason why partnership is so important, which is simply this: no one church has got it all. No one local church has got the full complement of gifts and experience and competence. So if we're going to be effective in serving our local communities, we need to be working closely with others that can make up where we lack. We need to be strengthened and encouraged through our involvement with others. They, for their part, need to be strengthened and encouraged as we input into them. And it's interesting, you see this outplayed in the early church. When you read the book of Acts in the New Testament part of the Bible, which is an account of how the early church accomplished its mission, we see in Acts chapter 11 two remarkable churches, one in Jerusalem, and then there's one up in the north in Antioch, which is in modern-day Syria. And the partnership between these two churches is extraordinary. So at the beginning of Acts chapter 11, Jerusalem, the Jerusalem church, sends one of their senior leaders to Antioch, and they give him away to another church. Be like us, saying, right, Matt, lovely having you with us and all that, but there's a church down the road that needs your input, and we want to strengthen them, and we want to bless them, and we want to see them become everything that God wants them to be. So, Matt, we're going to send you to them so that you can be a support and encouragement to them. And this is what happened in the early church. So Jerusalem sends Barnabas this man called Barnabas to Antioch. He gets stuck in there. And then the believers in Antioch hear that the Christians down in the south in Jerusalem are in need. So they collect money and they send that finance down to Jerusalem to support them that way. And then a few chapters later in Acts chapter 15, we read about the leadership teams of these two churches getting together and working on a common problem, working out what steps they need to take to further the mission that God's called them to. So we see this partnership between these two churches. It's not institutional, it's relational. So we're convinced that we can do more with others than we can apart from others. I think we've got a picture, actually. Let's bring it up. So we're particularly committed. I mean, we're committed to building partnerships in many directions. We're particularly committed to partnerships with the churches represented by some of the leaders in that picture. That's me on the left-hand side, and whichever you can make out. And then just next to me, working from left to right, that's Paul Hanley, who leads the leadership team of a church called the King's Arms Church in Camborne. A little bit further along, Grant Van Skalkvik. Yes, I got it right, surely. Who leads a church called Redeemer Church in Plymouth. And then at the end, there's Jeremy Bunce, who's part of the leadership team of Blaze Church in Newquay. We're particularly committed to building partnerships with these churches, with these leadership teams. And in fact, many of you know that we're already working closely with Blaze Church in Newquay as we look to get a work established in Falmouth. So in the New Testament, we see local churches working together. We believe it's important that we see that outworked in our context as well. There's something else, which is in the New Testament, we see not only local churches partnering with one another, we also see local churches partnering with apostles and their teams. So an apostle is someone who's sent out from the church to go and start and strengthen churches in the regions beyond, in other places. So we see churches supporting and financing and encouraging and praying for the apostles that they're in relationship with. So Paul writes to the group of Christians living in Philippi, and we see this in the letter to the Philippians in the New Testament part of our Bible. In Philippians chapter 1, he says, "You are partners with me in my ministry." And then at the end of that letter, Paul says, "You have financed me, you've given generously to enable me to go and start new churches across the region of Macedonia, which is modern-day Greece." So we see partnership between local churches, and in the Bible we also see partnership between local churches and apostles. Matt, tell us about apostles.
Okay, well, apostles, as you've intimated already, They are people who are sent ones. That's what the word literally means, the word apostle. And they primarily have a role in breaking new ground, or certainly helping churches to break new ground, but they would do it often themselves, and establish new churches in new places. And very often they will work in a team, or they're usually connected to a team who will be supporting them. And we get this, you may have heard the phrase apostolic sphere, and that comes out from time to time. We've probably said it many times from the front here. And essentially what that means is that each apostle has an area of activity. It's a phrase that comes from Paul's writing in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 15, where he talks about his area of activity. That's how it's rendered in the New International Version. And that's not a geographical distinction. Apostles don't work primarily on geographical lines. Actually, it's about talking about an area of influence. So it's not to do with, well, where are the churches based? It's more to do with, where have I got relationship? Where has that apostle got a relationship with churches? And so that's how apostleship works out in terms of connecting with local churches. So when we talk about an apostolic sphere, we're not necessarily talking about the Southwest or even England. We're talking about who's relating to those areas, who's looking after those areas, whose area of activity are we falling within. There's two ways that actually we as a church relate to an apostolic sphere or an apostle in their area of activity. The first is obviously that they come and strengthen us. They come and input into the life of the church here at Grace, and indeed across Cornwall. We're strengthening them and helping us as individuals to play our part in the furtherance of God's mission. But then churches have also a relationship back the other way. So we would support them with prayer, and we would support them with encouragement, and also as in the church in Philippi, some finance. Some finance will flow from the church here locally out to the apostolic base or apostolic ministry that we're receiving from, if you're with me. So in that way, it's very much a two-way relationship. It's not that we just get something in but don't give anything back, and equally we just give out but don't receive anything. Actually, our expectation and of the way it functions and the way that we see it functioning in the New Testament is it's very much a two-way thing.
Is it worth pointing out that there are those who would say that there isn't a continuing function for apostles in the church today? And we disagree quite strongly with that. We would say that in any age, there is always a need for new churches to be started, for churches to be strengthened through the gift that an apostle has, which is a gift that opens up people's eyes to the missional opportunities, both on their doorstep and further afield. So we're committed in Grace Church to being in relationship with those who are gifted as apostles. And in one of Paul's letters in the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, he talks about Jesus Christ giving gifts of apostles to his church, and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers as well. But apostles are listed there, and we believe that that's true for every age.
Absolutely, and of course, you know, the church is constantly changing. We as a church are constantly changing. The church, you know, you see certain things falling away and other things popping up, and so very much the role of the apostolic within that is to give shape and to help us to navigate those kinds of changes as well. Okay, let's talk about how the apostolic has helped us, shaped us in the early days of Grace Church. So how have we as Grace Church related to the apostolic and apostolic partnership through the conception and in the life of Grace Church up to now?
Right, this is a massive question and a huge area, and it can only be answered, I think, by going back a little bit and telling the story of the movement of churches of which we're a part. So some of you will have heard the name New Frontiers. Does that ring a bell with anyone in the room? Okay, some people are nodding their heads. Good. Okay, about four of you. So New Frontiers is the name of the international family of churches of which we're a part. And New Frontiers started back in the 1970s and was a name that was used to speak of a cluster of churches in Sussex that related to this man. Oh, he's already there. That's Terry Virgo. And Terry Virgo had a team around him, and he became recognized by a number of churches in Sussex as an apostle. And these churches said, Terry, we want to serve you as you function as an apostle, as you use your gift to see new churches planted. And Terry, we want to receive input from you as well and from members of your team. So New Frontiers was the name that was given to this group of churches that related to Terry. And over time, over a 30-year period or so, this group of churches in Sussex grew to around 800 churches in 60 different countries of the world. So it became quite impractical for all of these churches to relate to one man and his team based in the UK. So back in 2011, rather than handing over to a single successor, Terry handed the baton on to a number of people within the New Frontiers family that were recognized as having an apostolic gift. We'll put that picture up. So these people were recognized, these men, and the pictures, many of them are pictured there with their wives as well, were recognized as being apostles for today. And Terry charged them with building teams and with serving the existing churches in the New Frontiers family and seeing new churches planted. So if you like, New Frontiers went from being one apostolic sphere, a group of one churches that related to one man and his team, to being made up of multiple apostolic spheres. New Frontiers is now the name that we use to speak of lots of groupings of churches that relate to various apostles and their teams. So New Frontiers has gone spherical, if you like. One of the spheres in the UK is the sphere of Guy Miller and his team. Guy's pictured down there, bottom left. The name that was attributed to this sphere is the name Commission. Back in 2011, all the New Frontiers churches in the Southwest got drawn en masse into the Commission sphere. And that was great for us. At that time, Guy's team in the Southwest consisted of three church leaders, Simon Walker in Bristol, Grant Van Skalkvik, I'll get it right eventually, still no, Talon says, in Plymouth, and Andy Arscott, who at that point was based in Exeter. And Andy was our point man on the team. Many of you remember those days. And Andy's input into us as a church has been invaluable. We have benefited so much through our association with the Commission sphere. Just through Andy's input alone, which has been absolutely wonderful for us. And as a church, we've gone each year to the West Point annual event, which is an initiative of the Commission group of churches, and we've loved those times together. A number of you will have heard of the Impact Training Scheme. We've got Becky Smith in the church who's doing an Impact training year at the moment. In fact, she's up in Bristol getting some training there as part of the Impact program. That, again, is run by the Commission sphere. So we've benefited enormously through our association with Commission. Over the past 18 months or so, things have shifted somewhat in the Southwest. Grant stepped down as the leader of the Commission Southwest team and decided he wanted to focus more locally on what's happening in Plymouth. Andy R. Scott, many of you know, retired, if there is such a thing for someone like Andy R. Scott, from leading the church in Exeter. He's moved up to Dorchester, and he's getting stuck in there and is leading a church up in Dorchester, which is some miles away. So a natural window opened up for churches in the Southwest to consider their relationships with the apostolic spheres. And many of us, over the past 18 months or so, have been considering who do we partner with and why. And what we've been looking for is alignment with an apostolic sphere around four particular areas. Matt, why didn't you tell us about that?
Yeah, okay. So these are the four areas that we're looking at in terms of what are the defining things, what are the things we're looking for in a partnership with an apostolic sphere that will define what that partnership looks like. And here are our four bases of partnership. And the first is this, beliefs and values, up in the top right-hand corner. So we have shared beliefs and values. We believe the same kinds of things and apply truth in the same kinds of ways. Beliefs means our understanding of truth, and values means the way that truth is applied. So if you come here on a Sunday morning, what we say from the front is usually what we believe. Those are the things, the way that we understand truth is what you hear from the pulpit on a Sunday morning. But the values, the way that that's expressed, is what you see in the life of the church on a day-to-day basis. So if you come to community groups, you get part of a community group. That's where the values of the church get expressed. It's in the relationships and the things that we do. So you experience values. You don't necessarily hear them, if that makes sense, whereas you will hear what we believe in through your ears. But actually, when we're talking about values, we're talking about our culture. We're talking about the way we do things around here. And so that's what we mean there. Our shared mission, which is... Oh, it's different on this one, so I'm here. That's what's thrown me slightly. Bottom right-hand corner, a shared mission. The fact that we are in this together. Now, at a local level, that plays out in the phrase that most of you will know very well, that we are called by God as a church to see the lights turned back on in Cornwall. And that phrase, turn the lights back on, relates to a picture that hangs in Truro Cathedral that shows the churches round Cornwall as little dots of light. And sadly, over the last 150 years or so, many of those lights have been extinguished or gone out completely. And we feel that what God is saying to us is to play our part in seeing those lights turn back on again. So that's our shared mission at a local level. So any partnership that we're part of, we want to share that with that apostolic sphere, if you like. So we want that partnership to help us achieve what we feel God is calling us to do. How is that going to strengthen us and enable us to push out and see churches planted across the length and breadth of Cornwall? So that shared mission, genuine relationship, is the next one, which is it's the sense that we are a family together, that it's not just about having a purpose together, that actually as a church there is and as a group of churches and partnering with an apostolic sphere, there is a sense that it's more than just we're here to get a job done. Actually, it's about how we live together on that journey. And so our expectation is about being able to share our lives with one another, share our wives and families know each other, that there's something, you know, personal, it's a personal connection that goes beyond just a purpose. If you serve in a team week in, week out in church, then actually your expectation is that it's more than just we're just serving a purpose. Actually, we want everybody here to know people well and intimately, that it's not just, well, I just serve on that team and then I go off and nobody really knows me. Actually, we want our encouragement to everybody here is get stuck in. Let's share lives together. Let's not just dabble around in the shallows. We want something a bit deeper than that. And so we're looking for that with our partnership with an apostolic network as well. There's a sense that we love and trust one another. I think that sums it up really well, that it's not just about getting the job done. Finally, recognised leadership, that actually there's a recognition both ways here, that when we're relating with a partner, we can see the gifts in them and think, well, it'd be great to have their input into us here because what they've got we need. But equally, there's a recognition from them to say, we see what God's put in you and therefore we want to work with that. So our expectation is that there is a mutual recognition of leadership in that. And so Andrew, how in having this window opportunity for us to think about who do we relate to and why, I think it's worth saying that we kind of in many ways we fell into our relationship with Commission. It kind of happened because of the Southwest team that existed. And so when the Southwest team no longer existed, that's why we say that this window of opportunity opened up to start to think through why we relate to an apostolic network and who that's going to be. So do you want to pick up the story again from where we've been over the last 18 months or so?
Yeah, following this so far, many of you know that an announcement is about to follow after all this. So we'll get to that in a moment. So we're very ambitious at Grace Church because what we're looking for is alignment on all four of these points. We can enjoy relationship, friendship, and partnership with people on the basis of 1, 2, 3, or 4 of these points. But we want to tick in every box where our primary relationships are concerned. And we're convinced that a local church's relationship with an apostolic sphere is so important that we're looking for alignment on all four of these things. So let me go back a little bit, back 18 months, because what we're presenting this morning is the outcome of a journey that we've been on over that length of time. About 18 months ago, Paul Hanley in Camborne emailed me. I put up his picture a little bit earlier. And Paul said, here's a paper written by one of the New Frontiers apostles called P.J. Smythe, who leads an apostolic sphere called Advance. I'd be interested to know what you think. So I read this article, and in it, P.J. Smythe had talked about his understanding of how apostles relate to local churches and how an apostolic sphere functions. And I remember emailing Paul back to say, Paul, I love it, all of it. An uncharacteristically short email from Andrew Sampson. And Paul emailed back to say, I love it too. And did you know that PJ is coming over to the UK in a few months and he's gathering a number of people together who are interested in the possibility of partnering with him. Would you like to come along and be a fly on the wall? So I said, yes, please. So I went along to that day. And really, it kick-started in earnest a conversation that Ben, Matt, and I have been having within the eldership team, and many conversations that we've been having with many others subsequently, about who we should be relating to apostolically. And it's led us to the conclusion that going forward, we as a church should be investing intentionally with the advanced apostolic sphere as our primary relationship. And it's important to say that a relationship with the advanced apostolic sphere, which is led by PJ Smythe and his team, doesn't mean that we're closing the door on any pre-existing relationships, or indeed any relationships that we might want to forge with others in the years to come. So we've been part of the commission sphere for some years, and those relationships will remain important to us. We're looking forward to continuing, for instance, to receive Andy R. Scott, and I mentioned earlier we've got Becky Smith on the impact training scheme. They're thrilled for members of Grace Church to continue to be involved in that aspect of what they do. But going forward, we feel that we'll be most effectively helped in planting and strengthening churches in the Southwest as we partner with Advance. And we, for our part, feel a conviction that we should be playing our part in partnering with PJ Smythe and his team and helping that network to plant new churches across the nations of the world. In October, PJ Smythe is going to be down in the Southwest. We're looking forward to having him on with us on Saturday, the 3rd of October. He's going to be in Plymouth on that day, and we're looking forward to as many people in the church as possible to get along to that day in Plymouth, to be exposed to PJ's heart, to hear his vision for the churches internationally and down here in the Southwest, to connect with him relationally as well. And we'd just like to show you a personal message from PJ, which came over Skype, and then I'll come back in off the back of that.
I'll just add one more thing in there, that it may, you know, in saying that our primary relationship is going to be with Advance going forward, it doesn't, the question then is, well, how does that affect things in Cornwall, locally with other churches? And obviously, actually, King's Arms in Camborne are looking to invest their primary relationship with Advance, as our Redeemer Church in Plymouth. But Blaze Church in Newquay are still looking to stay with Commission. And you could think, well, how do we work together? How is that going to work then? If our primary relationships are with different spheres. And I think it's fair to say, well, we're going to work that out, because actually our commitment to one another is rigorous, and it's strong, and it's robust, and we love them. And so there's not going to be some kind of Cornwall split because we happen to relate to different spheres or whatever like that. It's just that actually that's where we feel, as for Grace Church, that's where we're most best going to receive input and relationship and partnership. So it's that. I just throw that in, because, you know, it can feel like, well, you're going that way and not that way. And actually, we don't see it as bold circles. It's more like dotted lines, if that makes sense. So actually, our relationship with Blaze doesn't change just because we're moving spheres.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said we'll get to the video in a moment. I see Ben's ready. He's got it there. Our relationship with Blaze Church Newquay is a primary relationship. I mean, it's of fundamental importance to us. So the fact that they are relating to a different apostle and his team doesn't change anything on the ground in terms of our commitment to work with them. Let's show you the video, and then a few more practical things to say off the back of that.
Hello, Truro. This is PJ Smythe from Johannesburg. Just wanted to say hi to say how much I've enjoyed getting to know Andrew over the last few months, Laura a little bit, Matt and Ben a little bit, and how much I'm looking forward to being with you all early October, seeing what you're doing, hearing more about your plans, your partnership with Newquay and Plymouth and Camborne, and hearing what you feel God is saying about planting more churches and raising more leaders. And I hope I'll be of an encouragement to you in early October, but until then, please know that I'm praying for you and rooting for you guys. Much love from Johannesburg. See you in October.
I appreciate the fact that we've got a number of people in the room this morning who are visitors, newcomers, you're on holiday, you just landed here and you're thinking, what is this? I'm sorry that this morning's felt very in-house, but we trust that it's given you a flavor, perhaps, of what's important to us as a local church, that we're not an autonomous, independent church doing our own thing in this corner of the world, but we're committed to working in partnership with others. So hopefully this morning we'll at least have communicated that message, that we trust that there will have been other helpful aspects as well. So we've talked about this day in October, which is the third of October, starting at 10 o'clock, hosted by Redeemer Church Plymouth at the Plymouth School of Creative Arts. Matt, Ben and I are really keen that we get as many people in the church as possible along to that day. This is an incredible opportunity for us as a whole church to get together with partner churches in the Southwest, for us to hear from PJ, for us to pick his brain, for us to meet him and other members of his team, to ask any questions that we may have. Could I urge you to put this in your diary? And at the end of the meeting, if you've not picked it up already, there's an opportunity for those of you who are members of Grace Church to pick up a personally addressed letter which includes an invitation to this event. And we're asking you, please would you RSVP? There are a number of different ways you could do that. You can email Claire in the church office to let her know that you want to come along. Alternatively, there's a tear-off or cut-off slip at the bottom of the invitation. You can put that in the black box on the table. And we're asking, please, that you return those this Sunday, next Sunday, or the Sunday following. What we want to do is organize transport for the church. We'll sort that out free of charge to make it as easy as possible for people to get to Plymouth. Also, children's activities are going to be organized during the day as well. More information will be coming out about that, but we don't want parents to feel, I've got young children with me, that means I can't come. On the contrary, bring your children with you, please, and let's have a family day out. Let's get along to this together and find out a little bit more about what our partnership with other churches locally is going to mean for us over the coming months and years, and what our partnership with an apostolic sphere is going to mean for us over the coming months and the coming years. As elders, one of our aims for this academic year is that we as a whole church would begin to feel the benefit of our partnership with the advanced apostolic sphere, that there'd be no sense of the church thinking, well, this is just something the leaders are involved with, it doesn't have anything to do with me. But actually, all of us would see on the ground practical, tangible benefits of having this partnership with Advance. So come along on Saturday to find out more. Come along Saturday, 3rd of October, find out more. Also, within that letter that you'll find at the back, and I should say that there are address letters to all church members, but there are also extra copies there. And it may be that you're a newcomer, you're here for the first time this morning, but you'd like to take one. To find out more, please do. Help yourself. There should be enough there. And if we run out, let us know. We can get it to you. But also included in that letter to the church are other things you can be looking at to find out a little bit more about what it means to be in partnership with the advanced apostolic sphere. So a couple of things here on the screen. Up at the top there, I've written some things down. I've written an article which is available online. You'll see that the link is there in our letter to you. And we'll also be sending the link out to that article in this week's whole church email. And then you can also go onto the Advance website, which is advancemovement.com, and find out a little bit more about Advance there. This is a process for us as a church. We're transitioning from having our primary relationship with an apostolic sphere in one direction, with commission, and we're looking to invest intentionally in a primary relationship with Advance. We appreciate that there are going to be questions that you will have. There are questions that we have. Please feel at liberty to ask any question you may have. I was talking on the phone to a member of the church a little bit earlier in the week, who said, I know what you're going to communicate on Sunday, and I just want to express some of the unease I feel about it. And I thought, great, I'm so pleased. I serve a church where people feel at liberty to say that kind of thing to a leader. So let's dialogue. Let's be in conversation about this, because what we want for us as a church is for the whole church to feel we are partners with Advance together, rather than this being a nominal thing or an institutional thing. Again, we have high aspirations. We're very ambitious here at Grace Church. So let's talk, ask questions, come along on Thursday. Let's pray together. Let's pray for the next steps that we're taking as a church. And we're going to pray together in just a few moments. But Matt, do you have anything else you'd like to add just before we do that?
No, I just want to say that actually, you know, it has been quite a long process of discussion and prayer and consideration, and Ben and I went up with Andrew to a day at the end of June where we got to meet PJ and some of the other leaders there and hear their heart, and it was just a really great day actually, where we just felt a real connection with those guys. They spent a good amount of time with us, listening to us, answering some of the questions we had, and it was the sort of thing that just was so encouraging to just spend that time with them and have input in a relatively short space of time, which just made so many different things just click into place. It really was wonderful. I really want to just express my encouragement to you to come to that day in October, because you know, I'm convinced that you'll feel the same when you come away from that day. And so please do block it out in your diaries. Do move anything that you need to move to get there. And please take advantage of the transport and the kids' work that's going to be laid on by Redeemer Church, and get along there just to hear PJ, to hear members of his team. As it were, I'm convinced that you'll see something that we've seen, or we feel we've seen, and that will do you good, and it will help answer some of the questions that you no doubt have. So that's it from me.
That's great. I'd like to invite Ben to come to the front, although it's been Matt and myself presenting it this morning. We're in this together. And I'm also going to ask Andy and Helen to come to the front as well to represent the trustees of the church. So Andy, we don't often bring our trustees out the front. These guys serve us so magnificently. There's so much going on behind the scenes. To help us as an eldership team. I'd be dead in the grave. I'd have been in the grave a long time ago if it wasn't for Andy that leads that team of trustees and the other members of the team that serve us so diligently. And Helen's a trustee as well with particular responsibility for church finances. So we've just asked if they could lead all of us in praying for the next steps that we have to take as a church. Please would you pray in your own time as well for us as an eldership team. As we seek to forge meaningful connection and genuine relationship with leaders that are part of the Advance sphere. And please pray for all of us as a church that will make this transition effectively. Let's stand, shall we? Let's stand to express our unity, and Helen and Andy will lead us.
Father God, we thank you for relationship, Lord God. We thank you for the partnering that we have had over the last 5-6 years with Commission, Lord God. We pray for your blessing upon them, Lord God. We thank you for Guy, Lord God. We thank you for the way we've been blessed at West Point, Lord. We thank you for New Frontiers and for all that means. And we thank you, Father, that in this season you are leading us to partner with Advance and with PJ, Lord. I pray, Father, particularly for these three men standing here, Lord God, for Ben, for Matt, for Andrew, Lord God, I thank you so much for them. Lord God, they are a blessing to us. Lord, we are so grateful to you that you have blessed us with such great leaders, Lord. And we pray, Father, for wisdom, Lord God, for sensitivity, Lord, that you would help them as they lead us through this time, Lord, into this new primary relationship with Advance, Lord God. Lord, we pray, Father, that you would give them strength, Lord God, that you'd help them to answer the questions that come their way, Lord, to help them to be in prayer and help us to be praying for them as well, Father. We pray, Father God, that this would be a relationship that both blesses us as a church, that blesses Cornwall, Lord God, that blesses this whole nation, Lord God, and that we would also be involved in mission across the nations of the world as a result of this partnership, Lord God. Lord, I pray for us as a church. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, as we come to this subject, as we think it over the coming weeks and months. For those who are here this morning, that this is the first time they've heard this, Lord God, I pray, Father, that your Spirit would be at work in each one of our hearts and our minds, Lord God, and that you would help us to process this in a way that is godly. Lord, help us to respond in a way that is encouraging, Lord God, but also help us to be real and to bring our questions and say, yeah, maybe I'm not feeling so easy about this, Father. So help us, Lord God, by your Spirit. And we ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, Lord Jesus, you're building your church, and it's across the earth, and it's so exciting. And you've called us to join in. You've invited us to join in your mission. And as you've called us into relationship with you, you've called us to join in to do your mission in relationship with each other, Lord. And we thank you. I thank you so much for the great people in this church and in other churches, Lord, that you've given us as to have relationship with. And Lord, I just pray as a church here, as Grace Church, we will know the benefits. We'll see the benefits of being part of Advance. It does seem a little bit theoretical and like what is all this, and I just pray, Lord, that each one of us will know the benefits, we'll see the benefits when we're trying to share your gospel with our friends, when we're having those chats on the playground, when we're at work, we'll be reminded of the support we have in you with one another, the fact that we're on this mission together, that we are not alone, that it's not just me having that chat, but I've got the whole church and churches behind me, and we're doing it in relationship with each other, Lord. And I just pray that I don't know at the moment how I'll know the benefits, but I trust that we will, and that we'll be in it together. And I just thank you, Jesus, for all that you've blessed us with in terms of relationships and resources and money, and we just thank you, Jesus, that you have blessed us and with these guys too. Amen.
That's great. Would you like to take your seats?